Part of my role as a vicar and part of Sarah's role as curate is to take what we call the occasional offices. That means taking services like baptisms, weddings and funerals. And earlier this week I met with a family who live in our parish to plan the funeral of their loved one. Now, the death of a loved one is, of course, always difficult, but I have to say that the circumstances of this person's life and death were particularly hard and particularly distressing. And as I was talking them through the order of service, I explained that normally in a funeral service we have a reading from the Bible and then there's a short talk. At that point, one member of the family looked at me and his eyes filled slowly with tears and he said, "Yeah, you know, that's fine. But please don't say that all the bad things that happened to the person that we loved happened for a reason. And please don't say that those experiences that we've been through teach us a lesson. I wouldn't be able to cope if you said something like that." I found his honesty very moving, really moving. And in response, I said, "Actually, I would never say either of those things, because I simply don't believe them to be true." Now, at the start of the book of Ruth that we've just read, we're introduced to two characters. We meet Naomi and her husband, Elimelech. And Elimelech's name means God is king. And Naomi's name means sweetness or pleasant. And we're told that Naomi and Elimelech leave their hometown of Bethlehem because of famine. So they are economic migrants who travel to a neighbouring country where first Elimelech and then Naomi's two sons die. And so by the time that we get to the end of chapter one, we hear Naomi saying this: "Don't call me Naomi. Call me Mara," which means bitter, "because the Almighty has made my life very bitter." And like the person that I met on the funeral visit, Naomi is wrestling with the pain of loss. She's wrestling with the loss of her husband, then of her two sons. She's wrestling with the loss of the country where she grew up and all that she had there before she had to leave in search of a new life. And she's wrestling with God as well. If God is king, that's what her husband's name meant, how could all of this happen? Where was God in the midst of this? And over the next few weeks, we're going to be looking at this story of Ruth, one chapter at a time. And as we read it, we'll be thinking about who God is. We'll be thinking about where God is in the story and how God is at work through difficult times. And the story doesn't offer us any simple answers. We won't be told that those things happened to Naomi for a reason, nor will we be told that they happened to her to teach her an important life lesson. And yet this isn't a hopeless story, quite the reverse. In verse 1, we're told that Naomi and Elimelech left their hometown because of famine. But when you get to verse 22, we're told that Naomi returned to Bethlehem just as the barley harvest was beginning. And so the writer of this short story uses a really clever literary device to foreshadow what is going to happen in the story, to let us know that this is a story in which a woman's fortunes will be reversed. She'll be taken from this place of famine and lack and loss to a place of harvest. The story doesn't deny the pain, the struggle, and the cost borne by these women, but I think it very gently shows that God is still king, even in the midst of difficult times and unexpected times. Now, it's worth saying at this point that the story is set, as much of the Bible is, in a patriarchal society. And that meant that if you lost your husband and you lost your sons, you lost your financial security, you lost your social standing, and also you lost your familial identity because Naomi's family line or Elimelech's family line would come to an end. And so widows were particularly vulnerable to poverty, and they were particularly vulnerable to exploitation. So how does God begin to go about reversing Naomi's fortunes after the loss of her husband and her sons? Well, interestingly, God's provision for Naomi doesn't come through a miracle, in spite of there being other miracle stories around widows in the Old Testament, and nor does Naomi's salvation come through a man. More on that in a moment. Interestingly, in this story, God provides what Naomi wants and what Naomi needs through Ruth, her daughter-in-law, and a fellow widow. So if you're beginning to think, gosh, this sounds like quite a feminist story for the Bible, a woman character and the woman who steps in to save her, wow, you're right, it really is. It is a very surprising story. And in the story, the character of Ruth tells us something about the nature of God. So the way that this woman behaves will tell us about who God is and how God acts. But also, Ruth tells us something about who we are called to be as the people of God. Now, one of the most important themes in the story is the theme of loyalty. And the Hebrew word that is used is the word chesed. And it can mean loyalty, or loving kindness, compassion, mercy, or reliability. And in our story you've read this morning, you see it in verse 8 where it's translated as kindness. So the narrator tells us that Naomi's husband dies, followed by the death of her two sons. And so she sets off with her daughters-in-law to return to Bethlehem because she's heard that God has turned around the fortunes of his people there. And on the way, Naomi herself is actually filled with compassion for these two daughters-in-law of hers. And so she urges them to go back. That in itself is a very interesting reference because when you look at it, she sends them back to their mother's house, not their father's house. I don't think it's mentioned anywhere else in the whole Bible that they're sent back to their mother's house because, of course, the father would be the one who owned the property. So one possibility is that this story was written by a woman and that she is making a point by saying that Naomi sent them back to their mother's house. Anyway, I digress. You can tell I was quite excited by this when I started my research. The point is that Naomi wanted those two young women to have a second chance at life. She wanted them to be amongst their own family, their own home country, to remarry, to have children of their own. In effect, Naomi wants them to have everything that she has lost. That tells us a lot about who she is. So Orpah tearfully obeys her mother-in-law and she goes back to Moab. But Ruth chooses to stay with Naomi. She says, "Don't urge me to leave you or turn back from you. Where you will go, I will go, and where you stay, I will stay." Naomi had lost everything, and yet Ruth refuses to abandon her. So Naomi experiences the loving kindness of God through the loving kindness of Ruth. Earlier this week, I met with Roz at the back for a cup of coffee, and she told me about somebody who used to be her neighbour. She said that this was an older woman, and her husband had died, and she was overwhelmed with grief and struggling with life. And Roz said that one day she bumped into this woman outside the flats where they lived, and this woman looked transformed. So Roz said, "What's happened? What's different?" And the woman explained that she had had a conversation with a mysterious man in the communal gardens of their homes. And she told this man about all of her woes, about the loss of her husband and the way that she felt. And he listened intently and then he reassured her she'd be okay. And she told Roz that she felt as if a huge weight had been lifted from her shoulders and as if she had been speaking with Jesus himself, the man in the garden. Well, it turned out it wasn't actually Jesus, it was just the gardener, which is why he was in the garden. And yet somehow God had worked through that man, he'd worked through the man listening, and he had offered that widow the comfort and the reassurance that she needed. And it had been a pivotal moment for her, and Roz sort of was able to describe the way her face was transformed. In this story, Naomi comes to understand that God is still with her and that God is acting on her behalf through the loving kindness of Ruth. Ruth's faithfulness and devotion to Naomi is a reflection of God's faithfulness and devotion to Naomi, or to us. And that means that we can be Ruths to other people, or they might be Ruths to us. So when there are people who are having times of life where they perhaps just wonder, how is this all happening? Where is God in the midst of this? Why is this happening? We can be the presence of God to them through our loving kindness. But the same is true in reverse. Other people can be the presence of God to us through loving kindness. And I love the fact that in that story, all the man did was stop, and listen. Well, my recent sabbatical, one of the things I spent a lot of time doing was reading, and my book recommendation of the summer is a book called The Silence of the Girls by Pat Barker. Anybody read it? Well done. Oh, a few literary types. Well done, you all. It's a fascinating story because it's a retelling of Homer's poem, The Iliad, but it focuses on the cost of war to women, and the story is told from the perspective of women. And it's one of a number of current books that have been released that retell ancient stories from a female perspective. Now, Ruth is a highly unusual book because it is an ancient text, and yet it is a female-dominated narrative. The character at the centre of this story is a woman, but more than that, she is a foreign woman. Bearing in mind that this book is part of the Jewish scriptures, it has been for thousands of years, and at the time of writing, there were very clear boundaries that existed between Jews and Gentiles, insiders and outsiders, those who were clean, those who were unclean, those who belonged, those who didn't. And you have to wonder, why on earth is Ruth the heroine of this piece? What is God trying to say to us, actually, about who he is or who she is? What kind of God do we have that says, I'm going to take the outsider, the outcast, the voice who would normally be excluded and pushed to the margins, I'm going to put her slap bang in the middle, center stage. And alongside that, this is a story of God acting through a woman on behalf of another woman, an older woman. And widows were probably the most overlooked group of people within that culture. Some might argue the same is true within our culture. So Ruth is the story of one woman who is seeking justice on behalf of another woman. These are effectively two people who don't matter at all, but God puts them centre stage. What does that say to you about who God is? What does that say to you about who we should be as God's people? Who is our God? Our God is concerned for those who suffer, for those who are the least visible and those who are the most vulnerable. And how does our God work? He chooses to work through the most unlikely people, the last people that others might choose. I think it says it all. I think it is quite extraordinary. Now, on the one hand, Ruth is a terribly ordinary woman. Yet, on the other hand, she's quite extraordinary. Because listen to what she says to Naomi. Where you go, I will go. Where you stay, I will stay. Your people will be my people, your God, my God. Where you die, I will die, and there I will be buried. May the Lord deal with me, be it ever so severely, if even death separates you and me. So Ruth is prepared to give up her home, her family, her ethnic identity, her own religion, for the rest of her life, to go and follow someone, her mother-in-law, not even a blood relative. So this is a woman who has courage to respond to the call of God, to follow him even at great personal cost. And in fact, if you were to look for another Old Testament character like her, the person perhaps most similar is Abraham, who is called to leave behind his home and his family and to travel to new lands in obedience to God. So that is interesting in itself, that he's the great father of the faith, and yet here is Ruth, one might say a mother of Israel, who is prepared to do what Abraham does. So she's prepared to let go of her own comfort and her own security for the sake of Naomi's comfort and security. Again, I think it says a great deal about who we are called to be as God's people and how we are called to live, that we are willing to lay aside our comfort and security in order to ensure that others are provided for and others are safe and have a home. There's loads more I could say. I read loads at home, was ridiculously overexcited. I had to delete 800 words of my sermon yesterday. I think what I'd say is, if you've got a Bible at home, go and read this story. If you've not got a Bible at home but you have internet access, there's a brilliant website called Bible Gateway, and you can find the Bible on there. But read this story again, and just remember when it was written, thousands of years ago, and just notice the surprising things, and ask God to open your eyes, because I think there is tons in here. So for me, this story is honest about the pain of loss, the loss of the land, of the husband, of the sons. It's also honest about the lot of women, and we'll come to that in the next few Sundays as we travel through it. But it invites us to see that God is still king in the midst of all of this. God's not king in a triumphalist way, but God shows his kingship through the courage of Ruth, through the self-sacrifice of Ruth, and through her loving kindness. Amen.